Hello, Mech Warriors, and welcome to the Mech Bay, where we fix your mech and fix your game. What's going on, Mech Warriors? I'm your host, Josh. I've got my co-host, Loremaster Denim, with me today.
Howdy, howdy.
And we are the Mech Bay Podcast, your number one source for all things casual to competitive tabletop battletech. And today, we're taking you on a journey to the mechaning world to learn about fantastical mechs and how to kill them. But first, as always, let's do some hobby news, hobby progress, games played, upcoming events. And I feel like this job's been taken. Like, Catalyst came in and was like, we really like Josh's news days. So they made Tuesday News Day a YouTube show with Rim Alternus, their community manager, to talk about all things that Catalyst is doing, whether that be through Battletech, Shadowrun, Leviathans, or any of their little micro games.
Yeah, we're a little bit light, admittedly, on the Shadowrun and Leviathans and everything else they're doing. So I wouldn't say they're taking over our job, but they are definitely encompassing a large swath of community news.
So this has been 2 weeks of them?
Yeah, I haven't seen the second one.
How was the first one? Because I try to get through it, but I'm just an audio or reading person. Like, I can't watch YouTube. So like it hits me and it bleeds off.
I had it in the background, and when they said stuff that I was interested in, I'm like, oh, cool. But other than that, it was a news show that was on, and I don't think it was bad at all. I will definitely have all of them on in the background, but they're long. I don't have time to just, like, I'm not going to watch them like a TV show, but it will be on, and the things they say that interest me will grab my attention, so.
I have a hard time with YouTube because of things like this. They've just crammed Battletech, like all of their IPs, into one show. And I'm like, I'm only here for a certain part of it. And I have to, like, I know they're probably putting Battletech probably closer to the front, but still, like, I don't have an hour. Like, I listen to this podcast while I'm driving. I can't watch YouTube. That's illegal.
Yeah. Luckily, my job has me watching a lot of status bars. So times like that, I could just have it on one of my multitude of monitors.
Sounds riveting, Denim. Sounds riveting.
Yep.
Pairing off of that, essentially, Catalyst released their official CGL Discord. So this is to supplement to the forums, not to replace it.
So I'm glad they've got a Discord for all the people who don't want to go searching on forums.
Yeah, I joined it and it instantly looked like
it's really like almost just like reading through forums.
Faster.
Yeah, but faster.
And I can't just Google like, hey, how does this work? No, scrolling by as there's thousands of people trying to chat with their opinion. I'm like, oh, stop. As we all know, Josh doesn't like the forums either. So. It's a no-win situation for me.
Not for everybody.
But that's it for news, unless you have anything else.
No, man, I got my head in the sand right now because so many other things are going on. Unfortunately, life is certainly going on all around me right now.
So fast. You're loving it.
It is. I built forts out of boxes in my house now because we've got so many packed boxes.
Packing, man. Should have just stayed where you were. Would have been so much easier, right?
No. It would have been bad. This house leaks. It's bad.
My last place got hit by a tree and then leaked. It leaked That'll before as well, but then it really leaked after. Let's move on to some hobby progress, though.
Let's do it.
All right. Hobby progress. Denim, balls in your court.
Okay. Yeah. I have worked on the map for the next campaign. I've got that all squared away. I've got a mission started for that. And because of one of our After Dark podcasts, someone approached me saying that they had never heard of Robot Jocks. So I had to have a screening. So I've watched Robot Jocks yet again. And that definitely counts as hobby progress.
I would consider that more like penance.
No, it is the best, hands down, the best stop motion BattleTech adjacent movie ever made. Tell me a better one. Go on.
Is there a better one? No. Yes. I don't know. Don't watch it. Don't put yourself through that, please. That's more hobby progress than I did, though. Yeah, I did nothing. Yeah. Yeah. It was a low bar. I was like, did Denim do anything?
I did.
The answer is yes. No. I spent most of my time just looking on Fortress miniatures and games. I added a couple things to my cart. Did not pull the trigger. I put the Metal Zeus 8X, or the one with the fins, because
I like the one with the fins. I want the fins for my plastic model.
Right? I'm like,
I do.
It's,
I don't want to buy a metal one just for the fins, but I may look into somebody who does some design to be able to 3D print some fins, because you know that's legal. You're allowed to glue stuff onto your minis, and I want some of those fins.
I mean, at least it's a different model. Like the head's different. Like it's different. Like torso modeling. Like it's not a full.
Yeah, because it's got that special armor. The which one is that?
Is it reactive? I want to say it's reactive.
It's the one that's good against auto cannons and stuff.
It's reactive.
Yeah.
I know my stuff. I know.
Yep. So yeah.
Yeah. Added that to the cart. What else did I add? Oh man. Added a stiletto for my Lyrans. Mm. See, here's the problem. I'd seen the stiletto as like a very, you know, Civil War-esque Lyran model, and I was like, ew, that doesn't look good. Looks just like a raven or something. And I was like, oh, wait. There's an experimental stiletto. It has arms. And it's got two battle mech turrets.
That's right. I forgot it had two turrets. Yeah, this is a Josh mech for sure.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, the art, it looks just like a baby Mad Cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you pulling it up now?
No, I've seen it okay. Before. It's coming back to me, though. I totally did forget about the turrets.
It's adorable. I liked it. I did not commit to it, though.
You should definitely be committed to buying mechs.
The one issue was, I was really interested in the Battlefield Bits by, what is it? I want to say Stratos on Fortress Miniatures and Games, and he was out. So I'm kind of waiting for that to restock in. Like I got that notify button, and then I'm going to just buy it all at once. Cool. And anything else I add for, you know, I can deserve a little treat kind of mechs.
Yeah, so. Bits are fun. I like bits.
Bits are fun. Yeah, this is like, what is it? Like traffic cones and like little...
Just all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah, it's the little stuff. And I'm like,
it'll make your bases look really good.
Yeah. Do your bases, people. I'm talking about you, Danny. But yeah, that's it. So haven't even... Oh, that's even worse. I didn't even buy things. I just added things to my cart and let it sit there.
Nothing's worse than when you go back to actually buy it and something pops up saying, this item is no longer
Don't put stock. That on me. Please don't put that on me.
No, it's going to happen.
Look, I've already like bought all of the sylphs possible.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to games played.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I played so many games.
How many games did you play, Denim?
Of Helldivers 2.
how many hours?
It has mechs in there. Well, robot things that kind of look like mechs. And it's going to have a mech DLC coming out soon. So it counts. I've played, I think I'm level like 22 or 23 now. So I've put in a few hours. I enjoy it a lot, you know, so whenever I've got like 30 minutes, I will do a quick mission and then go back to doing work or whatever.
I want to know how many hours you've played, though.
I don't know. I could go check at some point, but I'm not going to right now.
Okay.
I'd say, I mean, at least 20, probably more.
Maybe more, just maybe. I've got 44, which is probably more than it should, but.
Well, then I probably do have more than 20.
Well, I just hit 20, so yeah. It hurts because I actually upgraded my RAM for that. Mental note, I did not know I was only running like two times four RAM sticks.
That equals 8 gigs of RAM.
That equals 8. And I was like, is that a lot? And my friends were like, no.
I remember when my computer had 8 megs of RAM, and I thought that was the most amazing thing ever.
I mean, it is, considering I haven't upgraded RAM since 2012.
Yeah. Yeah, you should just, at this point, get a new computer.
As soon as I, like, replaced my RAM, I was like, this is how mech warriors feel. They're like, you should just get a new mech. And they're like, no, it's been in my family for generations.
Yeah, but the clan computers are out now, and they're fast.
They're fast, but they're expensive BV-wise.
They are.
They're expensive to maintain? Like,
Once you get it, there's no maintain. There's because they don't break. They don't have weird problems because they've got low RAM. When you got 64 gigs of RAM, you don't have RAM related problems. So you don't have to get more RAM. There is no maintenance aside from, I would say, every time that you update your video card drivers, you should get some compressed air and blow out like any of the fans. That's the maintenance on a good working computer. That's all you need.
I had the air can on one side and the vacuum on the other, so I was just like creating airflow of dust, but also sucking it up as it circulated. I was like, I'm a genius.
Yeah.
Denim, the IT person, is like, you should not be allowed around a technology, sir. But yeah, no, I was like, this is exactly like InnerSphere, like upgrading from intro tech to Helm memory core. We didn't upgrade a lot. We got to 16 gigabytes of memory now.
I'm so proud of you.
I know.
What kind of chip you got in there? A Dorito?
Don't laugh. i7-3400?
That's like what, third gen? It's only like 10 years old.
It's 12 years old.
12, yeah.
We don't upgrade. We stay in our lane.
Well, the fact that Helldivers even runs on your computer is a testament to the work that they are doing.
Not a testament to me overclocking my computer to get squeak out every ounce.
The Helldivers 2 engine is the exact same engine that they use for Helldivers 1 and Dark Tide and a bunch of others. The engine itself is abandonware. Like, there is zero support for it. So it was designed when your computer was still new. So it should run on your computer, honestly.
It did. Not great. I'll be honest there. I was like, ooh, is this server issues or computer issues? And I was like, it's probably computer issues. Maybe that autocannon needs to be upgraded to the ultra version.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except no, Josh got 3 games in and Denim got 0. So kneel before your superior dice roller.
What kind of drugs is Josh on today?
H2O, my favorite kind. I did have a probiotic H2O grape too. Blueberry soda, only 40 calories. I was impressed.
Well, tell me about your games.
All right. Well, my first game was against Scott from Scott's Game Room, and it was another Liren versus, I want to say, just Mercenary, but that's because my memory doesn't serve me that well. You can check out pictures of his force at scottsgameroom.com. And I took my Hollander, an Atlas, a Uziel 8S, and a Griffin RG.
And to not confuse people, that is a Hollander 2, correct?
Yes, it's a Hollander 2.
There is a difference.
They're all Hollanders. They're all good. They're Hollanders. Yes, they are. They all have Gauss rifle. I don't care what size Hollander you are, as long as you're just mech and Gauss rifle, you're a Hollander. Weight doesn't matter.
Weight, jump jets, whatever.
It doesn't have jump jets. It's literally just they had to add more mech to add more Gauss rifle. But Scott, he took a Hatchet Man, the new Rec God one with the AES and a hatchet.
Ooh, I like that one.
Yeah, that's a nasty one. He also took a Griffin. He took the Pulse Laser Jump one. I can't remember exactly the variant. He took the Gunslinger, and he took a Warhammer. And we played the one of the like the Mech Bay quick pickup missions, just because we were looking.
Does the Mech Bay have a format?
It does not have a format. Don't call it a format.
How many turns did you play?
8.
Nice.
And we did the like Headhunter one, where like your commander has to, you get a point every turn your commander hits another enemy, essentially. So it's to like, hey, you designate a lead mech, and that mech has to stay alive to get points, but also can't generate points unless if he's just sitting in the back.
Right.
It's just a, like, hey, big guys aren't going to sit in the back. They're going to lead from the front.
And if he lives for the entire thing, it, like, doubles your points or something.
Yeah. 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 So you kind of want to balance killing, surviving.
Yep.
Oh, man. But that game was wild. We played on the corrosive map.
So was your Griffin or your Uziel your commander?
My Atlas, sir. I'm a Lyran at heart.
But, all right, corrosive map.
Yeah, so we played on the corrosive map. We actually played with all of the corrosive alien worlds rules. So that was the acid pools. If you go in, you have to roll for the corrosivity, and then you have to roll for how much damage they did. I threw my Griffin into a pool and rolled, and I got the highest damage level, like eats through metal in seconds kind of thing.
Griffin, you just saw the thumbs up as it sunk to the bottom.
Well, he got lucky because he had to roll 2d6 damage, and he rolled a 3. And I was like, okay, I can handle that.
That doesn't sound like the max.
Hey, out of 2d6 possible, if the lowest is 2 and the highest is 12 and I get a 3, the Griffin was sealed tight, had Teflon coating on the armor.
Nice.
We also played with the wind, because on that map, the wind affects how much of the acid gets blown out. So if you're just next to the puddles at low wind, it does damage. And if you are like within 4 downwind, because there's a wind direction.
There's a wind direction, and you can actually see the spray on the map. So you know, like which direction it is. Yeah. To indicate that.
So we rolled. I got downwind, so that was fun. My Hollander, he ran. He was like, I don't have that much armor, but I've got a Gauss rifle, and that best sniping position is right next to that acid pool. As long as I don't have to, as long as I don't roll heavy corrosivity wind, then he's okay. And I think 3 turns of acid damage. It's in groups of 5s, can't hit the face. So I was like, okay, that's not bad. I mean, it's a Hollander. My Atlas charged up. He was slinging rounds at the enemy gunslinger and Warhammer. And the two Griffins were on the other side of the table, just fighting out for Griffin superiority. Mental note, my Griffin, not the superior Griffin.
Which one was yours? Like you said, he was the laser jumpy one. I know that I like the one with the streak LRM-10. That one's a fun one. That one jumps really far. But what did you have?
I took the RG, the advanced RG, the like Royal Guard one.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. So that one's like a mix of large pulse or large laser, medium pulse, and I want to say a single or 2 machine guns. I want to say it's definitely one of the new Rek Guide ones. RG does not stand for Rek Guide, it stands for Royal Guard. Fun fact. But yeah, so the Atlas was actually very impressive in the fact that it tanked the Warhammer double firing ERPPCs and the Gunslinger double firing Gauss rifles while it just slings back with one heavy Gauss rifle and some LRMs and some large lasers. Like, I was like, for the tonnage, the Atlas was taking more shots than it was giving out. My Uziel was kind of like jump chasing the Hatchet Man, because that's a jumpy Hatchet Man with a 7X, I believe, the Hatchet, AES, some medium pulse lasers.
Yeah, but the AES with the -1 to Hatchet, mm-hmm. some nice stuff.
It was. I got very lucky. His Hatchet Man jumped behind my Atlas, tried to hit me. I slam a Hollander heavy Gauss rifle round into his right torso, blew it completely off. So he's lost the hatchet.
Yeah.
He's lost most of his engine. The Hatchet Man overheats. Next turn, the Hollander gets another kill added to his resume, blows its center torso. At that point, my Griffin is swimming in acid. Tries to flank the gunslinger, realizes he doesn't have that level of movement. He's not advanced tech. Like, he has enough movement to get out of the acid, not enough to get out of acid and chase things. So my Atlas is kind of stuck in the middle. I probably played that pretty wrong. Like,
what was his commander?
The gunslinger.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, heavy Gauss mech versus heavy Gauss mech.
Yeah.
Yeah. My Uziel did pretty good jumping around and getting back shots. I wasn't super impressed with its damage output, but I felt like it didn't have a good target for what it was supposed to do. Like, it's an anti-light, I think, not a anti-heavy.
Right. Like, its best target would have, in my mind, probably would have been the Hatchet Man, except you had the Hollander killing that, so.
Yeah. The Uzeel was just, like, I don't want to say fainting to be a target for the Hatchet Man for the first turn or two, but, that's the best it could do. But anyways, so by the end of the game, my Atlas has killed the Warhammer with assistance from the Hollander. The Atlas gets a headshot on the Warhammer, killing that. The Warhammer then also gets a headshot on the Atlas same turn. So ooh. They both go down. Yeah, I was like, ooh, a little painful there. It's just the Gunslinger and his Griffin versus my Hollander, Griffin, and Uzeel.
And you only get a point if you hit a mech, not a point for each mech you hit, right? Like, you just have to do damage that turn, and you get a point.
My commander has to do damage.
Right. The commander has to do damage. But you can't, like, split fire and hit three mechs.
Correct.
Three different mechs and get 3 points. It still counts as just 1 point. Yeah. So there's no, yeah. It's not how many targets can the commander hit. It's just, is the commander out there doing stuff on the battlefield?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm up at that point. I'm up by 2 points, I think. Like, his gunslinger whiffed a couple shots. The headshot to the Atlas kind of, that literally seals, like, that's my score. Like, I can't get any higher. There's no way. I was like, that's fine. I just have to make sure his commander either dies then or not. My Griffin gets around. He hits him. He explodes one of his Gauss rifles. Hits him in the arm. I was like, yes. He takes the 2 pilot hits. He's still alive. He's still standing. I was like, come on. Okay. That turn, he hits the Griffin with his rear lasers, gets his damage. He gets his point. Next turn, I back up the Hollander as far as it can. It takes the 20-point shot. It hits him. It hits him in the other Gauss rifle. The Gauss rifle explodes. It goes through. There's not enough internal structure left. He donuts himself with it. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Of course, the Gunslinger, same thing. Fires his Gauss rifle, the one that had just exploded, and an ER medium laser at the Hollander, getting him a point. The problem is, the Hollander would have had just enough armor and an internal structure if it had not stood by the acid, getting the shots on the Hatchet Man and the Warhammer the turns before. He hits, he does, his laser goes through all of the holes in my armor, because I had taken like 10 points of acid damage into the right torso. He hits, gets internal, gets a single crit. That entire torso, all 12 slots of it, is just Gauss rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hits the explosion. His Gauss rifle didn't do as much damage as my Gauss rifle exploding did to me. So that killed it. So Scott wins the game with a 1 point lead.
Yep, because neither of you get the double points.
Neither of us got double points. But that's fine. Like, it's just a fun mission to do. We still kill each other, but we're trying to do something different. But it was very fun to play with all of the acid rules, because it definitely changed up how we played. Like, he definitely changed how he moved. I definitely changed how I moved. And I made bad decisions that I paid for. I would do them again, but it's besides the point.
Just roll higher.
Have you played on any of the Alien World things with actual... all of their rules?
I actually did the acid one, and I did the crystal one with the alternate rules on there as well.
I remember doing the crystal one a long time ago, and just
It was when it first came out. I was very excited, so I played some of them. Yeah, that's weird, because it's got the little tremors and earthquakes, and you can line up the crystals just right so that people shooting at you have cover, but you don't have cover against, or they don't have cover against you, but you have cover against them. So it's an interesting mechanic for sure.
Yeah, interesting is definitely the word I would use. But that was my first game. That was a little long because it was the longest one to go. Second one, I took my Snow Raven R team, which is like their salvage recovery team, against Jeff. And I took a Warcrow, a Crimson Langer, a point of Protomex, all rocks, a point of Stormbird battle armor, and a point of Airy battle armor. because like the R team is supposed to be two mechs, two battle armor, and like a salvage team. And I was like, protomechs are probably the closest we have to a salvage team. Like they can pick things up, they can like move a little bit more like technicians, and they can also defend themselves if they want.
Yeah, but they got big egos, so they're not going to do work like that.
I don't know how what motivates a protomech pilot nowadays. It's Ill Clan era. They honorable death.
Yeah, they're just all insane. That's where they're going.
Insane in the membrane.
But all rocks, how'd they go?
That went well. Jeff took two Balak VTOLs. And this was classic. So we were playing with some VTOLs. He took a Nova, a Thunderbolt, and a Blackjack. And we played the kill three buildings, also mech bay not format mission.
Uh-huh.
It's actually, people like it. They just want to play and they want it to be simple. I'm sorry, Denim. I'm sorry.
No, I have no problems with how this format is set up.
It's not like a format. Don't call it a format.
Like, you know, the only thing is that I wanted not turn limits, but just turn recommendations. That's all I wanted on there.
Yeah.
Turn recommendations.
I think 8 is a good recommendation. That's what we get normally in our 2.5 hour, 3 hour mm-hmm. weekday night games. 12 is a little ambitious for a Tuesday night.
Yeah, 12 is a lot. I would have said between 6 and 8 for most of them.
Yeah. But so this is for every 10 points of damage we do to the buildings, you get a point. And that's nothing else fancy about them. They got stealth, but that never really comes into effect. It's just to make the long shots not be able to like...
I mean, they still get -4 to hit a...
Exactly.
A thing, but it's, you know, it's only a -2 at long range.
Only a -2.
Yeah.
But yeah, that game went good. I was on defense for the first couple turns. I moved up. We played on the like mountain map, the one with like the mm-hmm. bunker side on one side and like a geyser hot Yellowstone looking pool on the other.
Is that from like the Tukiid pack or?
I don't think it's from Tukiid. I think it's from the desert map pack. Yeah.
I mean, Tukiid had neoprenes as well, but
yes.
Yeah.
I don't remember it being a Tukiid one.
Okay.
But yeah. So I lose initiative the first couple turns. So I move up all my guys defensively. I've got my Stormbirds riding on the Crimson Langer, considering it's like the fastest. It's 7-11. It's got decent speed. My Warcrow moves up. I'm avoiding the sub-level pit because I don't want to spend all my movement there. So I get pretty much most of my guys up to not the middle of the map, but like just inside my half of deployment zone.
Right.
I put my Warcrow behind partial cover at a walk. I move my Crimson Langer up, like, he's got some woods in between him and the targets, and my rocks are pretty much all split along the mountain line. So I'm like, okay, I've got all my bases covered, and I just got the airy battle armor in the back playing defense. Like, they're 37 BV. I'm not expecting a lot. They do one hit. They paid for themselves. Next turn, he jumps his Nova. He jumps it right onto the partial cover that my Warcrow is. I was like, ooh. That's a gunnery 3 that's jumped, and I stood still. I'm like, ooh, that's sixes for the 10 chemical laser Nova. Is it 10, 12? It's a lot. You can pump up damage.
Yeah.
We roll. My Warcrow shoots it. I get ER large laser, hits him in the cockpit. I roll, I crit, I kill the cockpit. The first aww. Shot out. I was like,
aww.
Like, I looked at him, I was like, hey, you want to do this? And he's like, nah, man, this is what it's about. And I was like, okay. I mean,
that's true. That's like how well can you do at a deficit?
Yeah. So his Nova goes down. His Nova decided because the chemical laser is only 5 damage, he didn't want my Feral Lamb to turn that to 4 damage, so he shoots the 2 protomechs that are standing next to me. He's like, I don't want to deal with these. He shoots, he doesn't kill it, but he gets enough crits on the torso that the pilot goes unconscious. And the mm-hmm. other one, he blows up the gun. I was like, oh, okay. They're not out, but they are as wounded as a protomech gets without dying.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would trade a Nova for that, but. But anyways, he flies his Balak. How do we want to pronounce Balak?
Balak.
Balak? Is that a name for something?
I don't know. That's send us the name of that unit.
Yeah, send us your pronunciation of the BALAC helicopters. But he runs those in. He starts shooting up my bunkers and buildings and doing damage. I was like, oh no, Airy, can you shoot? And they're like, nah, man, that's a +5. We're only skill 4. It's like, okay, that's what I get for taking you. My Protomax put some hits on it, but I don't get any good like rotor immobilizations or anything. So it's a little disappointing on that, but you really need like flak or low skill, even in classic, to kill those. Because we don't see much VTOL action.
Not generally. I only know of 2 people who really like VTOLs a lot and like to bring them. So it's not super common when you have, 50 some odd people who come to this store.
Yeah. So after his Nova goes down, I start trying to press the advantage. I move some Protomex because they're not, if they jump, they can't really shoot the helicopters. They don't have right. that good enough number. They're skill 3. They're just not still.
Right. But not when you're jumping and shooting at VTOLs.
Yeah. Exactly. So I send 2 to harass the Blackjack. They do some good damage. Nothing crazy. The other 2 go for his Thunderbolt. Try to shoot that. Thunderbolt's got too much armor. Like, I'll be honest. Yeah.
Thunderbolts are great.
Yeah. And this is the snub-nose PPC one with the target computer. I was like, ooh, you hit just as good, too.
Yep. I use that one a lot.
I know. You had just harassed me with it in the last campaign day. My poor Greyhound. Didn't kill it, but definitely hurt me. But my Crimson Langer had dropped off the battle armor, and it was starting to run towards his objective. He shoots the helicopter and the Thunderbolt. He gets a gyro hit, an engine hit, and like spreads damage like on the rest of the torsos. Doesn't really do anything. I roll. I stay standing next turn. I was like, oh, I really wanted to run, but I don't want to risk falling down right here. So I get 1 turn of me running to his objective, blasting it for like 50 points of damage before he does enough heat to me that I overheat, fall down. Next turn, he moves the Thunderbolt and he just target computer. He just aim shots my CT rear, finishing me off. And I was like, oh, all the front armor on that mech was fresh.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, it's fast, but it's not.
When you've got a good shot, using that targeting computer to target a specific location can be super key. Like it's not used very often. Most of the time it's just used as a -1, but I've seen it fail spectacularly. I've seen it targeted and then everything hits and nothing hits the location you were even aiming at. So it happens, but when it works, it's beautiful.
When it works real well.
Yeah.
But while that's going on, the Warcrow has moved and like just completely harasses that Blackjack. Like, it's got 2 ATM-9s, and I just unloaded high explosive on him at like range 0. I was like,
yeah,
like, oh, that's an Artemis level bonus with 3 damage. Ooh, that's 60 points of HG point blank. It's like, I don't know which Blackjack you are, but you're not getting up from that. So
I know that some of the Ill Clan Rec Guide Blackjacks are good, but none of them are that good.
Yeah. He had hit me with two of his re-engineered lasers, and they had done like their full 9 points, but they had hit places that like arm and right torso that were completely fresh. And he was like, yeah, like he even admitted, he's like, I shouldn't have even moved the Blackjack up. I had good range on you. Like, the Warcrow's a sniper variant, but even then the re-engineered lasers would just melt through the armor more than I could.
Yeah. I mean, use the Blackjack like it's supposed to be used from far away.
Yeah, I think he just knew. He's like, I need to push something up the middle, but the bollocks were doing all the damage in the rear. Yeah. So Blackjack goes down, and next turn I send my Warcrow over to the other building and try to kill that, and his bollocks are harassing my buildings. So I was like, okay, this is just who can do the more damage to the buildings without overcommitting and dying.
I mean, that's the mission, right?
That is the mission. Like, no, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. It's like we put up our defense.
I think the team that scores the most touchdowns is going to win this game. Yeah.
So we got our 8 turns in. We decided to call it, and we were like, all right, let's add up how much damage we did. We did the exact same amount of damage to each other.
Like, what are the odds? Same.
Yeah, I know. I was like, we both did.
I mean, it could be 10, it could be 100. It doesn't matter if it's the same.
Yeah, but we both ended up with like 14.9 points after you do like the 1 point for every, what, 10 points of damage or something. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, we really did that close. And we both needed like 5 more damage to win. I was like, oh.
One more little laser.
One more chemical laser. But that was good. The fact that I couldn't kill a single Balak was disappointing, but I also didn't have the units, I don't think, to do that.
Yeah, because if you took anything with a low enough gunnery and you stood it still, the Hez other mechs were just going to destroy that
unit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was a weird list, but it was also like, let me do a weird thing with a weird list and see how it does. And I was more impressed. Yes, I got lucky that game. I should not have even tied that game. I should not have killed the Nova in the first volley.
Probably not. Yeah, I mean, the fact that he did that well down a mech the entire game says a bit about his list for sure.
What's that, Josh, skirting by on luck and good looks? No, yeah. I haven't heard that before. When you say no one's ever told you the good looks part, Josh.
Oh, I was trying to be nice. I was trying to be super polite right there. But since you brought it up.
But I had one more game. I had a Mega Mech game against Sam Burling. We did a 6K game because Sam had a list that he'd been wanting to try out for an event that he never got to use. And it was 6K, so I met him at the weird middle. And I took kind of the same concept of the last list, redid it. I took a Scylla or Storm Giant 3 at 3-4, and then I took 3 Rocks, the base one, and then 2 Minotaurs at Gunnery 3. So it was a lead duo team versus his Hatamoto He, Catapult, Jenner, and Firestarter.
So after playing 5 Rocks and then playing 3 Rocks and 2 Minotaurs, how does that feel to you? Cause I hate split. I know you're supposed to be able to, and you're allowed to. I hate not taking 5 of the same protomech.
I like the 3-2 better than the all 5.
Okay.
It's probably because the Minotaurs are much more like fire-based level protomech. Like they run for those first couple turns and they just get in position and they just zap, because they put out the damage of 2 protomechs, so you don't want to jump those. You want to get them into like a heavy woods on a hill and just use ER medium lasers. The rocks are kind of just like harassed. They get into a good shooting position, they blast once or twice, and they move to another one. They're the shoot and scoot versus the Minotaurs, you know, stay in tank.
Yeah, I think I'd rather overcommit and have, you know, 2 points of rocks and 1 point of Minotaur instead of taking 1 point of mixed stuff. But yeah, BV considerations.
BV so, considerations.
That came out to 6K. How did that game go?
6K, yeah. Yeah, I have a Scylla, never used it. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna use it. I'm using this Mega Mech game. It's got an ER PPC, an LB-20, a HAG-30, and a heavy large laser. And I was like, okay, so you have 4 weapons, and they are all big. They are only big weapons. I hit nothing for 4 turns, did I?
The luck giveth and the luck taketh away.
I didn't win initiative, and I didn't hit anything until like turn 5. I hit his Jenner. I hit its gyro. It stays standing. It walks. It still kicks the Scylla. I was like, come on, man. Come on.
But does the Scylla fall?
Scylla does not fall yet. Yet. Foreshadowing here. The worst part is I have the Minotaurs on like a perfect hill, and they're just trying to shoot the Jenner. And they're like, nope, we need 5s. We're going to roll 4s. So I was like, this is why I don't play Mega Mech, because the dice don't love me in Mega Mech.
Computers do not love you.
Yeah. My rocks, though, have like 2 or 3 of them have hit the catapult's left leg, like, exclusively. So I'm like, okay, I'm liking this. But me losing initiative, I'm kind of playing on the defense. I move the Scylla onto a hill, which is something I try to really avoid. It's a 4-6. I don't want to, like, spend more of that movement trying to get up and off, like if something goes really bad. So his Jenner and his Firestarter are like jumping around. They're taking pot shots at it. They're not worrying about the Protomex yet. They will, but not yet. The Hatamoto, he moves up. He gets within like one of me. And I'm just like, okay, I have to fire all four weapons because I haven't hit with anything. I hit with the LB-20. I hit with heavy large. And I just do so much damage. I get a crit. I hit, like, I go through his armor and then I get the crit.
So it's like two crits?
Yeah, it's like two crits. I do, I want to say a gyro and an engine. So he goes hot. He falls down. I blow off his arm. So it's like, we weren't playing with any optional rules. So he's just on the ground, can't shoot anything. His catapult then hits me. He crits the hag. I was like, why is this happening to me? I just want to take Gauss rifles. Why do they keep exploding? So that explodes. I go down. Not dead, but down.
And all you've got left are your
stupid Protomex. They do blow the leg off the Firestarter, and they do finally kill the Jenner. But by then, I only have a single Minotaur and a rock left against his
Hatamoto and catapult.
The Hatamoto is down and dead now.
Like, oh, okay.
Before the Scylla had gone down permanently, I was able to at least kill that.
Oh, that's right. You said the two crits. Yeah. I got behind there.
You're fine. Yeah, he tried standing up, hurt himself worse. It wasn't pretty. I don't want to dwell on that memory. The best part came when his catapult like moved back, fires at the Minotaur that's just in the streets on the map we're playing, gets the legs, blows them off, and he's like, so what happens when a Protomech gets legged?
It just can't walk, I think.
Yeah, it stays there. It's like,
yeah, it's a turret.
Yeah, he's melted to the floor now.
Yeah,
exactly. I was like, he's melted to the floor. That's which just means he's been promoted to turret. So he hits the catapult again, hits with one of his lasers. The rock misses, and the next turn, he kills the rock, walks over, he kicks the Minotaur, hits it, does enough damage to get internal on the torso, gets a crit. Rolls the 12, gets three crits, that's Protomech destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even kill it the old-fashioned way. No, he just rolled Protomech destroyed.
Smoosh.
It was fun because he did roll against a physical attack on one of the rocks earlier, and it was like the near miss against the catapult, and I was like,
oh, yeah,
too fast for you.
That's on a 3 and 11, right?
3s and 11s. So, yeah, so I can say I'm done with Protomechs for a while. I got it out of my system.
All right.
Then I was like, I'll hold you to that.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. I'm not calling you a liar. But yeah, that was a bunch of games. And technically, you technically had the campaign, if you want to talk about that.
That campaign was fantastic. It was a city-heavy, it was building-heavy map. People were in the city. They were just trying to avoid being murdered long enough to find out what side they needed to extract on. We had some amazing stories come out of that particular scenario. People sacrificing themselves so that the three or four other teammates could get off the map in one turn. It was because they only needed to get one mech off to get the win, but every additional mech got them bonus points. It was an exciting scenario for sure.
Yeah, I played. I took the Greyhound for that one. I will say, I killed an awesome.
Yeah, you killed an almost untouched awesome with the Greyhound.
Pushed him off the map.
Yep, it's
the best skill in the world. And then I died horribly to every other mech.
You did take a lot of damage the turn that you were trying to push him off the map, and then you did what a Greyhound does, and you ran, and you got just over halfway across the map, and you were taken out by MRMs.
That was the worst part. Not that I got taken out, but that I got taken out by MRMs.
With two MRM-20s, and he hit all of them.
If I remember right, you needed like an 11 to hit, and then you rolled a 12 on the cluster.
All of them hit.
Every last one. And you hit every group into left torso.
Yep.
It had armor when it started that fight, and it did not have armor at the end. I was like, yeah, I'm not no coward. I take an Intersphere XL made in the ISA. Yeah, so I died. I died trying to protect an urban mech.
Who also died, but but it was fun to watch.
Yeah, it's like, run, little urban mech. Don't look back. Wait.
He's like, I am running. I've been running the whole game. Oh. I've made it 6 hexes. I'm getting there.
The worst part is I watched this urban mech player like, I'm going to hide here. I was like, urban mech player, you need to move.
Yeah.
He's like, no, no, it'll be great. He'll run right past me and I'll shoot him. Like, that's not how that works. You. Yeah.
We aren't using hidden units here. You're right there.
We all know where you are.
You do not get attacks of opportunity either.
Oh, buddy. Yeah. But that was a fun game. I enjoyed it. I had fun. Even if I did get lit up by a lot. Like,
yeah, a lot.
Griffin, Jenner, Thunderbolt. I took down a Battlemaster too. Stalker? Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, nobody took down the Stalker, but you ran from
nobody it. Even touched the Stalker.
Yep, Griffin got a Stalker. Couple hits on you. Griffin got some. You blew the PPC off the Griffin, and he hit you with SRMs. Yep,
it's a worthy trade. I punched above my weight class. That's all I want to do.
Yeah,
but no, it was a great game, great campaign day. How many people were out that day?
At the store for that day, we had 46, and then we had a makeup day, and I don't have the numbers for that makeup day yet. But 46 that day, and then the people who couldn't make it that day, more showed up for that day.
That's awesome.
But yeah, 46 is not bad. Not a record, but not bad.
That's a lot of games played, Denim.
Well, that, I mean, if we're counting that, then I did get 3 games played because I ran 3 campaign days. 3 games on campaign day.
3 of the exact same game, different players.
Yeah. Hey, well, every game is different. Every game is special.
Oh, especially the ones with me in it.
Super special. At least there I had a target, a dedicated target.
Kill Josh. We all need to wake up with that level of motivation in the morning. What am I going to do today? I'm a kill Josh. I'm going to make it my mission.
It was first game of the day. It was a great way to start the morning.
Yeah. I do love that you had to randomly roll where all of these mechs came in. I was on one edge and you rolled that same edge, what, 4 times?
Yeah, four or 5 times with all the assault mechs.
An entire lance of assault mechs could randomly spawn anywhere, individually.
Yeah, anywhere.
Not as a group, individually. And you rolled each one in the same corner.
Yep, same side for all of the assault mechs. Yep. And then someone's like, what, we don't get salvage? I don't remember that.
Listening to comprehension. How many points for my strong suit?
How many points for the awesome? 0.
Cool points. I only play for cool points.
But yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Always is. All right, let's move on to some quick upcoming events. We've got March 2nd in Columbia, South Carolina. We got some 100 PV in Columbia, South Carolina at That Computer Store. Now let's take a quick break until we get into fantastical mechs and how to kill them, where they are, what do they know? Let's find out.
You're now listening to HPG 102.3. Real Mech Warrior FM. Where we play nothing but the hottest energy, ballistic, and missile music. This ain't your pre-center's HPG station. Next up, Reactor Overload by Imagine Grand Dragons.
And we're back. I feel like I need to get it out there. I thought of this. Did I think of the title before I thought of the subject, or did I think of the subject and then come up with the title?
That's you've been subtly thinking of the subject for a while now. I don't think it was be fully formed. I think you came up with the idea of the title, and then you're like, oh yeah, that would be great for this thing that I've been thinking of.
That's probably the exact way that it happened, and my brain just can't process that process. So I'm going to go with yes. I've been thinking about this for a while. And what is this? This is the mech archetypes that are like talked about, whispered about, like back alley talk, the things that really grind our gears that we call OP on forums, the things that we say, this is very good, this is the optimum choice. And these are the things we encounter on the table when we do like more competitive or like higher level play of Battletech. Like, nobody wants to take a mech up against one of these without like a plan to know what they're doing. Because if you just like one-on-one any of these, it's probably not going to go well. Like, they are just kind of the kings of each of their categories. Like, they are the best sniper, they are the best artillery, they are the best missile boat, things like that.
I mean, old players definitely remember the time when suddenly everybody and their sister took a jumping mech with clan large pulse lasers and a targeting computer. I mean, that's what everybody took. And that's the kind of thing we're talking about, is the ones that people complain about being OP, being unfair, should be banned, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because they don't have an answer for them.
These are rough.
But we're here to give you that answer. Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to title it Fantastical Mechs and How to Kill Them, because we are going to talk about what each of like the groups is. Like, it's not always one specific mech, it's kind of like a group, it's a category of that mech. And what are some counters? What do we see that mech do that you can kind of exploit? So, starting off, the mech that I see most commonly that really aggravates me, I'm not scared to fight it, but I definitely spend more brain power fighting its like BV percentage than I probably should. And that is what I call the pulse jumpers. Now, they come in two different flavors. We got our lights, very fast pulse jumpers, and we've got our heavy, thick boys. So let's start with the pulse, the light category. These are your spiders. These are your venoms. These are your dragonflies. Denim, what are some... When I say light pulse jumper, that's optimized.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's on my list. I have a spider that jumps 10 with two medium pulses. That's one of my go-tos. I absolutely take that. And yeah, that's when I think of that list, this is what I think of, is that spider.
I fought that spider multiple times, multiple people. I'm tired of fighting that spider, Grandpa.
It's never going away. You can't stomp on it. It's not going to be squished.
That's too damn bad. Oh,
it's not a lot of BV, but you know, it's a problem, and that's what we're going to get into, is why it's a problem and what you can do about it.
So why is it a problem? The problem is because it can generate very high TMMs, 4, 5 by jumping into woods. It can get wherever it needs. It can get in your rear. If you lose initiative, there's not a guarantee that it's going to get even touched. It is, I go anywhere, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. I mean, it's a BV thing. It's if I jump 10, that's a +5. And if I jump into woods, that's a +6. If it's heavy woods, it's +7. And if it's partial cover, that's +8. If your gunnery is a 3 and you don't do anything, that's an 11 to hit. You know,
it's so rough. It's so rough.
Oh, I'm a fan. So,
yeah, I know you are. You're the one who uses it.
I fight against them too. I like them, and I don't mind seeing them. That's for sure.
The closest I get is I use the scout that jumps 10, but that's not as much there to do the pulsing. So I'm like, it doesn't fit in that category. That's a dedicated scout. There's a bunch. That's a big list for dedicated scout. But no, this is the get in your back, put 6 to 8 damage in your rear.
Yeah, because with the medium pulse, it's 12 points, really. You can do 12 points. But like I said, the BV, you know, the spider that jumps 10 with two medium pulses is 1,000 BV. It's not horrible. But, and I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit here. The answer to all of these, and this is what we're going to go over, at least I'm going to go over. I don't know how Josh is going to approach
initiative.
This. Roll 12s, win initiative. That's it. All right. Outro. Thanks, everybody. No, it's math. You out-math them. That's the answer to all of these archetypes, is just math. So I don't know how you approach it, Josh, but that's exactly how I approach it. And I'll go over my methods.
It really is the team that scores the most touchdowns is going to win football.
It's more you need to channel your inner Hunger Games. I mean, it's the whole may the odds ever, you know, be ever in your favor. And what you have to do is make sure that the odds are in your favor and not in your opponent's. And you're not going to win every game. There is luck. But if you can massage these numbers properly, then you will win most of the time. More than 50% for sure.
All right. Let's talk about how to kill these pulse jumpers. I'll start. My favorite thing to do is to bait them against something that arm flips. I know it's dumb, but something that's already slow moving, it's probably a dedicated gun platform. Like,
so you have an arm flipper in every list that you run, right?
I do. I normally try to. Like, just aesthetically, I always like an arm flipper. Lancelot.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's I do. So I really do.
Yeah. But that's just
for this reason.
It's not the perfect solution, but it's one that, like, hey, something's got in my rear because it wants to get in my rear. It begs to get into my rear and do damage.
That's the only way it can really succeed. It doesn't have enough damage to hit you frontally. It has to get in your rear, preferably adjacent to you so that it can kick you and also get that PSR, because it doesn't matter how much damage it does. It just has to land a kick. You know, that's part of what makes it dangerous. So it wants to get in your rear and it wants to get adjacent to you. So you are correct. Like, an arm flipper is a really good counter to it, but that's not enough.
Like, no.
That's not enough. You have to think about it even more. So first of all, like I said, if it jumps 10 into woods, you're rolling 11s. That's really, really, really hard to hit. I mean, I don't know right off the top of my head, but I think an 11 is like 8.33% or something like that, like the odds of hitting it.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance. Absolutely, there is a chance. But it likes to jump into heavy woods. So your goal is to find those heavy woods and put the mech that has arm flippies in those heavy woods and turn its back to an open, empty hex. Because you don't want it jumping into woods. You want it jumping into a clear hex. And then you want to stop moving. Yes, it's going to jump behind you. Yes, it's going to hit. Because if you're not moving, even in heavy woods, there's a chance it might miss. But the odds are it's going to hit. And you're going to suck up that damage so that you can have like eights to hit. Eights are fine.
Eights are good.
Eights. I would take eights or nines on that jumping spider all day long. Because like even a nine, you're going to hit one out of every four on average, and it can't take that much. So you flip your arms, you fire all your large arm mounted weapons. Even if you only hit a quarter, it's going to be a bad day. So that's the answer to that, is take the damage. It might mess you up. But if you're pristine, it shouldn't kill you. But you can kill it, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore.
You're trading rear armor for damage. So yes. As long as the more you can tip the scale to your favor, like if you can put out 10 damage and only take 6 in return, that's pretty good.
And if you know, like do everything you can to lower the number that it can get. So like I said, you stand in the heavy woods it wants to jump to. Preferably make it in a way that it can't jump behind you for a full 10. So everything less is a better chance to hit. You can bring those nines down to an 8 or a 7. And if you can get it down to a 7, then you're going to destroy it. Again, not every time, but the odds are definitely in your favor of destroying that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're going to suck up the hit. You're not going to try and avoid it. You're going to let it do what it wants. You're just going to make doing what it wants to be an unfavorable number for it.
I've definitely made the active choice to give it like, oh no, I'm on level 1 and there's a level 2 right behind me.
Exactly. Please. Oh, it's so tempting.
Don't jump here, step spider.
Yep.
And then I arm flip and I've blow 20 points of damage into it. It's got no leg because I've just gotten lucky, but like I'm gonna put a lot of my fire on that because I'm like, okay, if it wants to go where it is, it's not jumping its full TMM. It's going to jump like a 3. So then it's, then I can lower it down to a 7. I'm like, right. I will overheat for 7s to hit that spider or venom or whatever.
And also remember that it's not, when we play Battletech, unless we're doing Solaris, it's not one-on-one. You have a team. So on that turn that you've made it unfavorable and they jump behind you, take advantage of that with other units of yours. Get other ones into position where they can kick it back and also put fire into it. You know, spend that one turn to just delete that harassing mech. Just delete it. And then you don't have to worry about it anymore. Because the more things you shoot at it, the more odds that you're going to hit. And something light like that, you're never going to have better odds to hit it than it has to hit you. And that's really what you want to do. Like to win Battletech, the real secret to winning in Battletech is to, like I said, to move the odds in your favor. And normally that's make your two hit numbers 6s and 7s and their two hit numbers 10s and 11s. With a jumping mech, you're never going to have that happen. But then you have to look at the odds and say, well, I'm going to have to hit it 2 times before it hits me 8 times to do potentially crippling or you know, killing damage. So what number do I have to get to make it so that, you know, I can hit it 2 times before it hits me 6 times? A 9? Absolutely. An 8, even better. 10s or 11s? Probably not. So even though they're going to be hitting you more often, you just want to get your number low enough that you hit enough times. So don't look at the number and say, oh, well, I can never hit you because I always need 9s. You're going to kill them if all you need is 9s.
9s are pretty good. I'll take those odds. So that's the light side.
Right.
Now, I wanted to flip to the other side of that coin, which is what I call the heavy jumpers. And these are things I see a lot more often just because they are pretty good. But I think a lot of people could just, I've literally seen these mechs called cheese on the forums. Like,
absolutely.
The Viper / White Raven, it's all large pulse lasers and it's a target computer and it jumps for 8. It's got improved jump jets or something like. Yeah, there's a Nova Cat, same thing, improved jump jets, 466, all pulses, target computer. Uzeel 8S, I've had a friend mention that he hates fighting that, and I was like, why is that? And he's like, it's a 588, it's 4 medium pulses and a streak 6. Like, it jumps, as long as the streak doesn't hit, it's fine on heat. I was like, yeah, you're right. And yeah, even the Turkina, I've seen people call the Turkina with large pulses like OP. I was like, what are you talking about? The heavy jumper pulses, like,
right, they're not harassers and annoying. They are jump behind you and you're probably going to die if they get behind you.
They are much more of a mainline battle threat,
right?
Denim, when I run my White Raven against you, my Viper, because you were there for the inception of the Viper.
Oh, yeah. I remember when it didn't exist and then it did. Yeah.
And then it did. How do you fight the Vipers and stuff in the world?
It's honestly the same thing. The big difference is that the spider that I run, the BV is like 1,000. The Viper, the White Raven, like, its BV is closer to 4,000 because you're paying for the large pulse. You're paying for the targeting computer. You're paying for a mech that size that can jump that far. There are balances that are made. Now, BV2 is not perfect, and we all know it's not perfect, but honestly, in my opinion, it is good enough. If somebody has that mech and you've built a good balance of units, you are going to out-ton them, you're going to out-weapon them, and you're going to out-armor them. You are. So yes, you're going to get probably one of your mechs destroyed, but it's the same concept. You find the heavy woods and you stand in it and don't move and make sure that your back is facing an empty hex, just like against the spider. The difference is that you need your team in position to punish that mech who gets behind you. If it doesn't get behind you, that's fine. You guys, everybody's just trading fire. You're absorbing it on your greater amounts of armor. If they take the bait and get behind you, your team needs to be in position to punish and delete that mech. So it will probably take the mech it gets behind out, but you're going to cripple or destroy that mech as well. And then you're in the lead because the mech it took out probably isn't worth as much BV as that one mech that you just took out. Now when tonnage was how we balanced it, yeah, this was horrible. This was just, this mech could have been one of the reasons why BV2 was introduced. Like for real, they showed how broken the BV system was. BV1 was, but with BV2, it does actually pretty much balance it. So if you have an appropriate amount of BV and you use the proper tactics to mitigate its advantage for jumping and firing pulses, you will be able to destroy that mech. And well, hopefully the mech that attacked you is alive, but use it as a sacrifice and know that it's going to be a sacrifice and treat it as such, but make that mech pay with all of your other mechs. You need to focus fire down those mechs, even if they're going to be slightly harder to hit than other targets. Don't be fooled. Don't be tricked into spreading out your damage. Focus fire on that mech. And then they're going to lose like a lot of their whole key plan. Like they can't do the thing that they do that annoys you, and then you won't get annoyed and you'll be able to clean up the rest of them using normal tactics.
See, this is when I know like I'm an inner sphere pilot, because I just can't imagine running 4,000 BV, which I did in that 6K game. I was like, oh, this is a 3-4 assault mech. And I was like, oh, this is the same price as like one of these jumpy boys. Like that's 3 to 4 other mechs. They just need to get lucky once. I need to get lucky every single time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I got outnumbered, I got flanked, I lost initiative, and I had mechs in my back just waiting to unload. They were only doing 10 damage to my 20.
Yeah.
I was doing more damage.
But if both of you get a headshot, you're dead, and they still have 3 other mechs. Yeah.
They only needed to get internal on one of my locations to hit ammo. Now, the pulses, they don't have that same problem, but they hit anything. They hit a gyro, they hit a leg, they hit a hip. Mm-hmm. Anything in the leg, anything in the internal CT, right T, left T, like engine, anything, cripples it. Instantly, they paid for BV that they'll never get back. And I will trade an entire inner sewer heavy, which is less than half the cost of these.
Correct. Don't be worried about losing the one mech, because you have paid for it at least twice over. And if they take one of those in a 7,500 BV game, that's more than half of the, you know, what else are they going to have once that mech goes down?
I've ran it. I didn't have much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's literally the all your eggs scenario.
Like there's not even any good, like this weapon counters this. It's like, no, it just pays for it. Like they take this. Now, if you're, you can't dick around. You really can't. Like, you just have to, like, it's that one turn they lose initiative, but they're still trying to be aggressive. Punish them.
Right. And in all of these situations, I am assuming that we have lost initiative when I'm talking about it. I'm assuming that they can get behind me because I lost initiative. If you win initiative, then it's a whole lot easier to massage the numbers so that the odds are in your favor, because you know where they are. So this is all... If you're a normal Battletech player and you lose initiative 8 out of 10 times, what do I do? So, yeah, you let him get behind a mech. You don't run or jump your mechs. You keep them walking or standing still so that they have the best odds of hitting the target. And then you just concentrate. You just concentrate all your fire on there. It'd be nice if there were sevens, but even if they're nines or tens, you know, you're going to hit if you throw enough firepower at this. And once it's down, I mean, then the odds are really in your favor, because you outnumber the opponent. You outnumber him, outgun him, outarmor him.
I think we've covered pulse jumpers, the both flavors.
Yeah. I think so.
Don't go halvesies. Don't go half in, fully commit. That's really the answer.
It is. Trust me.
All right. So I put sneaky boys. And now when I wrote sneaky boys, what I initially thought was things like the Dasher, like things that are going to run really fast. But no, those are just kind of like worst of the pulse jumpies.
Right, exactly. The way to defeat Dashers and the Locust that runs 28 is the exact same thing, except for they can't jump, so it's even easier to get terrain in the way. They'll get a couple good hits, but anything that moves that fast is super light, so it takes even less damage to cripple them or take them out of the fight. They'll have one or two decent attacks, and that's it. At worst, the Dasher's going to drop battle armor off near your assault mechs, and you know that's a whole nother story. Keep water nearby.
Whole nother story. But no, so once I was like, oh, these are the same concept, just worse. I was like, but what else is in there? I was like, oh, Denim Stealth Rifleman.
I like how a lot of the things on this list come back to, oh, Denim's blah, blah, this. Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah,
I understand. The secret podcast here is how do I defeat Denim's Lance?
Well, last episode was Dustin's intro to lore, which means the next episode, how to kill Denim on the tabletop. And more secrets and for $5.99.
If you follow my advice, you will do really well against my Lance. Unless I do really well against you first. So
when I think of these, I think of your mechs because you play them well, and B, they are very good at the roles they are doing.
I think I lost 4 games in 2023.
How many were against me? One.
Well, one, because we're counting the one where you didn't know how to use your hard gel 3 armor and you out BV'd me and you forgot about your heat scale that one turn and you know all that stuff. So that one I am still counting as a loss, but yeah, that was one of them.
I'm sorry, but I apologize for nothing.
I know that's the problem.
Yeah. But yeah, so your stealth rifleman.
And if on my 10K list, my Stealth Marauder 2.
Which is really just a bigger Stealth Rifleman.
It is. It is. Well, that Rifleman is special. We'll go into that. My Stealth Rifleman, I really like it. It has stealth armor. It's not particularly fast, but it doesn't need to be. I take that one because it has light autocannons, so I can put precision ammo in there. He's really good at staying back. I like to find a hill to put him up on with woods and partial cover. So, you know, maximize the 2 hits. So I don't move. So there's no TMM there. But with the stealth armor at long range, I can still get a 4 or 5 TMM, even though I didn't move. So if anybody with a 4 gunnery who is walking, that goes to a 5. So they need a 10 to hit me at long range. Assuming that there's no other terrain in the way, which is exactly where I want to be. Because if you need a 10 to hit this rifleman on a hill at long range, you're going to find a closer target that's a better 2 hit, or you're going to waste shots throwing it down there. And the rifleman is great because it's not trying to shoot at the heavy mechs, it's taking on the light mechs. It's got a targeting computer, it's got precision ammo. It is shooting, since it's behind everybody, it's shooting at the light fast mechs who are getting behind my other units. And if a light fast mech gets behind it, it can flip its arms and get that -3 to hit it as well. So it's fun and I like it a lot. But it does have a secret weakness.
I've tried to use these, like the stealthy, I don't even want to call them sniper mechs, but the stealthy second line mechs that are just, they get into an optimum firing position and they stay there. And they're not tough, but...
They're not.
Yeah.
I don't think he's lived in a match against Jason Hansa ever. Like he takes those out fast. And the trick is you get not your lights because of the targeting computer and the precision ammo, he actually excels at taking out lights, but any mediums can take those AC5 hits all day long. And once you get into the short range where the stealth armor doesn't work, he doesn't have the staying power. He doesn't have the maneuverability. He doesn't have the TMM and he doesn't have the damage output. See, he is great against light mechs, but he can't handle a medium mech. A medium mech or heavier. He just can't. Yeah. Or, I dare say, five protomechs all surrounding him, which you've never, ever done. You've never brought your protomechs all the way over to the rifleman to surround him. And if you had, I'd be like, well, I guess he's toast. But never, not once.
Yeah, swarming him with... But that's a weird case, because not a lot of things have that. Like, Intersphere, I could see, like, a bunch of hovercraft getting up and around, and just, like, it'd be hard for you to justify spending two or three turns shooting hovercraft that are just pecking at you with medium lasers or something. Like, the stealth marauder that just sits back. Yeah, I could kind of see that needing a little bit more, like, a medium mech or two, just kind of dance it around, hitting it, pecking, waiting until they get lucky. But the Stalker is definitely much more, no, sorry, the Marauder is definitely much more of a main course battle line than your, like, a Blackjack or a Rifleman or something like that.
Yeah, I like a Rifleman over the Blackjack all the time in almost every situation. But yeah, I mean, the stealth armor, it generates 10 heat to use every turn. Once you're in short range, it doesn't matter. And even medium range with a +1, it's not worth the 10 heat that it generates. So it can't put out as much damage as you think it does. So yeah, just get somebody close, but it doesn't have to be a heavy guy. Just any of your workhorse mediums will take that down.
What do you think about hitting it with Infernos or Plasma or anything to try to mess with its heat scale?
100%. If you've got Infernos or Plasma, anything with heat, in that case, I would definitely even get a light in there, just because if I can hit it, even if my light mech dies to it, it's not going to be able to work the next turn. Either it's going to have to shut off its stealth armor just because of the heat, or it's not going to be able to fire anything, and then you can, you know, feel free to maneuver your mechs wherever you want, because it can't do anything. Anything that generates heat is a problem for it, because it's hot.
What about artillery? I know it's advanced rules, but normally these are mechs that aren't moving more than
any sniper. It doesn't matter if it's stealthy or not. Any mech that uses sniper tactics, just sits on a hill. Artillery is fantastic for that, because once you dial in artillery, you don't have to roll. You're going to hit that hex every time, and it's going to be a problem. It's guaranteed damage every turn. It's exactly what artillery works best at in Battletech. It's finding a place where a mech is going to be all the time and punishing him for it. That's what it does.
Artillery is the great equalizer. We just don't want to admit it.
In fact, when I'm playing Battletech with artillery, I find the hexes that are on hills, in partial cover, in woods. I target those first. A lot of the, if I have any left over, it's any given heavy woods hex, I make sure is one of my targeted hex. And that way, if a light mech jumps there, well, guess what? Artillery just hit that hex too. And that messes up a light mech every day.
Those pre-plotted artillery target hexes.
You get five.
This is when it's like, hey, I picked the five most defensive heavy woods on the highest elevations.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If they go there once, it's paid for itself.
Yes. And they do all the time. Same thing with mines. I always mine those hexes too. If I have mines, those are the ones I mine.
They're drawn to it. They can't help it. Oh. Sneaky boys. All right, let's move to the melee champions, the heavyweights. Now, I run these more than I realized, I guess. But these are things like the Night Sky, the new Contio. There's the Crusader with...
The 9BR Crusader.
Yes. And what does the 9BR Crusader do?
That Crusader, it run, when it's got TSM, so when it's hot, it can go 6-9. And it has two claws. And when it's got TSM activated, those claws do 20 points of damage each. So it runs up to anybody and punches them for two 20 point groups on the punch table. It has done some work. So it, what was I going to say? I was going to say something about it.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's got TSM. It's got the claws. It runs nine. Yeah, there's one other thing. Can't remember. I'm sure it'll come up as we talk.
But yeah.
So, yep, I love that Crusader.
But most of these are TSM-powered melee. Kill, hit your mech once, kill it. Like, there's not a whole lot left to pick
the
up.
The odds are, if it gets into melee range, it's going to hurt you, for sure.
That hatchet man I fought, I wouldn't put it in this, because if it hits me, it's not going to kill.
Right, right. All of these mechs right here, the Night Sky, the Contio, the Crusader, one punch on the head kills you, period.
One punch
Contio does, yeah, the Contio does 12 points with a punch. The Crusader does 20, and the Night Sky does, I believe it's 13 or 14.
Yeah, there are different TSM. Variants that get even higher. Yeah. Yeah.
But even without TSM, it's still a headshot kill. So also all of these, you want to have it having a higher piloting than gunnery. So instead of a 3-4, you'd want it to be a 4-3, or better yet, a 4-2. Ooh. For sure.
Those 4-2s, man. I fought a cudgel 4-2. My mech did not survive.
Oh, BV-wise, I think a 3-4 Crusader is more expensive than a 4-2 Crusader. So it's you know, that piloting skill, that's when it gets scary. It does.
Yeah, but it's a real easy way to hurt these.
Well, yeah, yeah. Hey. First of all, step one, don't let them get into melee range.
Yeah, yeah, literally, yeah. Don't play with them. Don't engage. Shoot them before they get to you. Boom. Roll 12s, win initiative.
TSM ones, just like the stealth ones, you hit them with as much extra fire as possible. Obviously, it does not affect their melee attack if they do get into melee range with you, but it really messes up their math when trying to keep that TSM. So instead of being a 6-9, suddenly it's a 5-8 or a 4-6 because, you know, heat.
Or and it's shut down and ammo.
Or it's rolling. Shut down. Or the ammo explodes, you know, things like that. It's a tough, getting exactly 9 is actually a tough balance, because heat sinks, you have to shut those off at the end phase for them to take effect the next turn. So you have to guess. You have to guess what your heat is going to be the next turn. So a single Inferno SRM can just ruin your day.
It's so funny. It's like, this does 2 heat. And the person just across from me is like, why would you do that? Why would you hit me with 2 heat? It's like,
now, it obviously can't always just say, well, you know, I just won't ever let them in melee, because you can't. Matt learned that with the Crusader. He needed, I think, 8s to hit me, 7s to hit me with my Crusader, and he never rolled above a 4, you know, in the turn that it was running towards him. But in that case, when a mech like that does get into melee, the melee is after the firing phase. So again, focus fire is your friend. Get every mech, no matter what the 2 hit is, who has a chance to hit it. You want to at least get that 20 point PSR to hopefully knock it down. It's going to be tough if they've got a piloting of 2, but yeah, you want to do as much damage to that as you possibly can before the melee phase, as much as you can.
You can't outpunch these. You cannot win in melee combat against these. Like, these are mechs that are just completely outclassing you. You have to mess with their math, and you have to kill them when you get the chance, because, like, normally they're going to have to spend one turn. Like, I think it's not the Shiro, it's the other one, Akuma, that does the same thing. It's got a sword, it's got TSM. I'm like, oh gosh.
The Nodachi. Nodachi.
Akuma. Thank you. Yeah. The other one.
I pilot the Nodachi, so I, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's great. It's got that sword with TSM, and it does, it can do headshots for sure.
It's painful to fight, and I could have won that entire game with a single SRM2 with Infernos.
Like, with Infernos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is when Infernos actually, like, are better than an SRM. Like,
yes.
Yeah, I can mess with your heat math. And you are having to do heat math every turn. And I would have slowed it down. I would have instantly dropped its speed. Could have just blasted it with like every other weapon.
My Shadowhawk that I take has an MML5, and I have, you know, 2 tons of ammo. 1 ton is SRM, 1 ton is Inferno. It's just to mess with people with stealth armor and people with TSM. Like, that's what it's there for. If nobody has that, then I just go after, you know, the mech who's got the highest heat to damage ratio, and just pick on him with that.
I'm trying to remember, but heat seeking ammunition. I know it's advanced rules.
I think that's a lot like the heat damage that you take if your life support is down, where it's insanely high heat to get those bonuses. I don't think it's just like on a 9, you get a +3 to hit or something. It's crazy.
Much more.
We'd have to ask Nate. He would know the advanced rules like that. I don't know them.
We went over that. I just can't remember it. All right, melee champions. Mess with their math, then kill them fast.
Yeah.
Don't let them live. They are
a priority. Do not try it. Don't be like, well, I'll just kick them. No, you won't. You won't.
You're going to trade a leg for a knee.
Right. So focus fire when you can. Put terrain in between them and you. Yeah. Mess with their heat math and focus fire. Focus fire is your friend. It really solves so many problems on the Battletech field.
I definitely fall victim to those more often because I just don't take Infernos. Like, when I do take things that shoot heat, I go all in, but I never have like, oh, let me just have this SRM6 with Infernos because I'm going to use it to crit seek. No, I should use it to really screw up someone's heat.
I mean, like, I use that Crusader, as we know. So again, this is one of those mechs that I use. What I also have is a Thunderbolt on my team that does not have an XL engine, who I tend to walk out in the middle. So people are like, oh, yeah, I need a 9 to hit the Crusader this turn, but I only need a 6 to hit the Thunderbolt. Well, A, my Thunderbolt can probably take a few of those. And B, if you're shooting at the Thunderbolt, you're not shooting at the Crusader. So I like to have one mech that I intentionally have a poor TMM just to make it a nice target, just to throw people off, just to get people to think I'd rather go for the sure thing than the lucky shot. And that's another way to outmath people. It's changing the odds in your favor.
Nobody outmaths the Hut.
That's right.
I like it. Let's move on to the opposite side of that. The tanks. These are the mechs.
The tanks.
That just, the person takes them and they just want you to shoot at them. Like, they are happy filling in bubbles. Why? Because they normally have more bubbles than they should.
Yep. And I will be honest, these are the ones that I actually have the most problems with. That Hammerhead, I love playing it. I love playing it because I've played against it and I know how frustrating they can be. And I'm like, I want that. I want that on my team. That's what I want.
Yeah, it's why you take the Hardened Stalker.
Yes. Well, this, you'll never see me take the Hardened Stalker because here's, you know, the detriment. High BV, again, because hardened armor is high BV. They are not mobile because the heavier you are, the slower you're going to be. Because if you take hardened armor, you've got a -1 to your running anyway. So no matter what, you're going to be slow. And that leads into the exact answer to these mechs is, again, focused fire. And it's better because you're going to hit a lot more often. Your 2-hit numbers are going to be significantly lower to hit these beasts than anything else. And then when you do take them down, that's a significant portion of the opponent's BV off the battlefield. A significant portion. So they're frustrating and they're scary, but once they go down, and they will go down, they really, really will. It's just going to take 2 or 3 turns.
2 or 3? Oh, man.
You're going to take some damage in the meantime, but once they are down, you should be in a better spot as long as you've been focusing fire on them. Like, you really do. You want to focus fire. Don't be distracted by other mechs. Don't be like, oh, but I could take this guy out who's kind of scary. He's not as scary. Just take the guy with the hardened armor out first. Caveat, unless he's not doing anything. If they're over on one side of the map, don't go chasing them down. Wait for them to come to you. In the meantime, take out you know, take out other people. Don't bother with them until they are threatening your mechs. But then once you do decide to, like, execute it. Do not mess around. Get everybody around it. Focus fire. Get those rear shots on the lower armor spots as much as you can. You have to do 40 points of damage in order to get that PSR. But if you do give them a PSR, they're overbalanced because of the hardened armor, so they will fall. They will fall more often. You can't rely on AC2s with crits because hardened armor has, it's much harder to tack, to get attack on hardened armor. Much harder.
Yeah. Yeah. This is when I fight against hardened armor things, I almost want like a dedicated melee unit that's not about like doing damage, but just good at landing a kick. Mm-hmm. Like I can get a high TMM so I can get behind, like, not the pulse jumpers, but the pulse or the jumping melee ones that just go behind and just harassing. Normally these hardened mechs, they're tanky, but they also want to do some damage. Like, they're not just armor. The hammerhead is a weird exception where it's probably more armor than it is gun.
It is undergunned for sure, but it is such a fun mech. And the one weapon it does have, like, the it's got a large pulse laser and an SRM6 streak. And I think ER medium. So it doesn't have many weapons, but that large pulse laser does work. Like 20 hexes with a -2, it's fine.
Yeah.
It is not meant to take out other assault mechs. It is a medium and heavy killer.
Yeah. So something that the hammerhead's like at the low end of the tank scale.
It is a weird mech. And it's got the AES on the leg, so it's just a fun mech because it's so weird. It is just a weird mech. So I would say this more is like the hardened stalker, things like that.
Hardened stalker, the feral lamb, things like the war crows. Right. One that I don't see very often, but I feel like we will eventually, is the hardened armor Mad Cat Mark II enhanced. And there's probably going to be more hardened armor mechs coming. Like, there's not many, but
also re-engineered lasers ignore the hardened armor effect. So use those. You know, if you've got a couple of those, if you've got a couple of variants where you're like trying to decide and one of them has a re-engineered laser, and you might want to take some because it's a whole lot easier to get 20 points if you're using re-engineered lasers. They ignore the special properties of all those fancy armors.
That blackjack that I fought this week with two re-engineered lasers, I was like, each one does 9 points. They get an innate -1 to hit. Two of those hitting is 18 points. I don't care like what, where you're hit or how much armor you have. I only need to do 4 normal damage to cause a PSR. So I need to do 2 re-engineered hits. It's not easy, but these are slower mechs, so it's more likely than normal.
Right. Again, the hardened armor mechs are going to be slower, and with a -1 on re-engineered lasers, it's even easier. The odds are going to be in your favor. You're going to hit with them as the game goes along. Yes, you might get unlucky, but in general, the odds are you're going to hit more than you're going to miss. So re-engineered lasers, big plus.
I would say re-engineers are actually probably the priority. Like, that's your best bet. Second is just forcing physical attacks. Like, make them fall, make them slow, heat them up, make get them those kicks even in. Slower.
Right, yeah, you get some heat on there, and it's so bad. You get them down to a 3-5, they're only a 3-4. You know, they can't get a +2 TMM no matter what.
Put terrain in between them. Make them regret bringing them to the table at all.
Because again, you're going to pay for them in BV. Once you take them out, then the opponent will be in a BV deficit, and then you just use normal tactics to clean everything up. Normal tactics being win initiative roll 12s.
at least we're honest. All right, this one comes up a lot. These are the hardcore missile boats, and by hardcore I mean that longbow that has a whole bunch of MMLs. I'm talking about the Archer CS variant with 4 LRM-15s with Artemis.
Right.
Like that one's on the low end. That's very good, but it's not unbeatable. The Viking 2C, the clan one, with all the clans. We've seen the picture. It's just
right. LRMs. That one can like flip its arms, and it has, you know, the LRMs are in the arms, right?
Yeah,
so it can even flip its arms and shoot things in its rear with no, because that's a big thing against missile mechs. You know, get your faster mechs in there into the minimum range. But with clan LRMs, you can't do that. With MMLs, with SRM ammo in there, you can't do that. I'm going to be honest. Like, I've fought against these guys. I've very rarely ever actually gone down to them. They've been more of an annoyance. They're scary. There's a lot of missiles. We fight in the shade. But with only a few exceptions, they haven't ever been the ones doing all the damage or the killing blows. The exceptions are if you get into short range with that MML longbow, I've seen heavy mechs just disintegrate.
I fought against Brad, DeviantID. He's ran two longbows with the MMLs, and I was like, okay, there's not like every range is covered. This is going to be rough. And it was. It was very rough.
Yep.
Because that was like doubling down. So I was like, I struggle. Like, I get lucky against these. That is my tactic, and it's not a textbook procedure for how to deal with these.
Right. What I do, anything with enough missiles to actually be a problem is normally on a larger chassis. Larger chassis tend to be the heavier, slower mechs. Therefore, I default to my striker mediums, the ones that can jump 5 or 7. So I use my speed to make my TMM higher than their TMM. So my numbers to hit should be in the 7s, while their numbers to hit should be 10s or 11s. That's what I'm aiming for. And that's how to defeat them. You just make them miss you more than you miss them. And you're going to get through the armor. You're going to start hitting their ammo bins, and they're going to explode. Yes, sometimes they roll a lot of 11s and they do serious damage on you, and you lose that game. But if you play them 10 times, you will beat them 7 out of 10 times. It's just how that works.
Yeah, this is when that dedicated, even longer range sniper, like, for me, is kind of necessary. Like, I know it's not good, but if I can put 15 points, you know, into the same location, it's probably getting internal, and then I just need to get lucky once.
Yeah, I like that. I get that for sure.
It's not great.
Well, if you look at my lances, I don't tend to use mechs with ERPPCs or Gauss rifles. And I think it's just because of the BV cost. I like to use mobility and VSPs. I like VSPs a lot. Anything that I can do a lot of damage with, but also stay mobile. Because, you know, VSPs are nice. If you get in close, it's a -3 to hit. And since I like to jump a lot, that counters the 3 for jumping, which means that my 2 hit numbers are higher. And I would rather kill them with 1,000 paper cuts than trade missiles for Gauss rifles. That's just my personal preference.
I agree.
So yeah, mobility is the key against those missile boats. You want to make it hard for them to hit you. You want them to roll a whole bunch of missiles and only hit with 10 or 20% of their shots. It's when your TMM is so low that they hit with 75 to 100% of their shots that the problems occur. They have to hit with the volume to make it worthwhile.
This is when I rely on C3 and C3I. I have something with a very high TMM scouting, and it's not getting great. Like, it's not zero range, but I can outrange the dedicated snipers. I just have to normally clear their, you know, front guard, because these aren't normally front line mechs. They're second line that are just holding the backfield. They're still moving. Like, they're not going to sit still normally, because they know if they sit still, they're dead. So this is when I like a scout that can, I don't want to say spot for indirect fire either, but I do like C3 against these.
Yeah. Well, my Shadowhawk that jumps 7 that I like to take a lot has ECM and an active probe. So that just messes up so many C3 networks, especially if you're not using advanced rules with ECCM. It's just, you know, oh, you've got a spotter that's fast. You know, I jump 7 and I have a VSP that does 9 points of damage with a -3 to hit. It's going to hurt your scout mech a lot. So again, mobility is the answer to that. And of course, like have at least one ECM on all of your lists. It's not hard. There's so many mechs out there with ECM. So do that. That also interferes with that Archer's, the Artemis on his LRM.
Yeah.
And it just has to pass through your bubble, and that bubble's huge. So yeah, it's a 15 hex bubble. 13 hex. Yeah. It's something, either 15 or 30. It's big. It's huge. Yeah. So yeah, they're scary. It's a lot of missiles in the air, but I have never found them to be the deciding factor of a battle as long as my TMM is high enough.
But you also run more TMM high things. But
I do. I love, because in Battletech, speed is key to almost all of my builds. That's making my 2-hit numbers lower than my opponent's 2-hit numbers, I find is a more reliable way to win a game. Armor, just absorbing hits with armor, that lasts for a little while, but only for a couple turns. And any mech, you know, it can't take up a dedicated barrage for very long. It just can't. So even hardened armor stalkers are going to go down to concentrated fire. But if the stalker can't hit my units, well, then I'm going to be in good shape. It may take me 6 turns to take him down, but I'll have very little damage on my mechs.
Yeah. All right. You ready for the last category?
I am.
The Goss Toters, the head cappers, the I brought big gun, and yep. I'm going to just nail you from, you know, 20 hexes away.
And oftentimes the pilots of these mechs, they will get the lowest gunnery that they could possibly can. These are the all your eggs in one basket mechs. If somebody has that Annihilator with the Godzilla with 4 Gauss, mm-hmm. they're going to get the lowest pilot in there possible. If they have a 10K list, they will have this mech and then a pathetic amount of anything else. and it's dangerous, you know, headshots. A lot of mechs can't take 15 points in every spot. It's devastating. Yes.
It's very, very rough to fight these.
Yes.
For those first couple turns.
Right. Because that's the solution, is that A, all their points are tied up in this. It's really their only competitive unit out there. And once you take it out, their force is going to crumble. They just don't have enough. So they have to take more of you out before you can get to them. They are very, very slow. If you get multiple Gauss rifles on a mech, it's not going fast, which means that you can rush all of your units across, use terrain. Do not be afraid to run up to a level 1 and use, like, keep an extra movement point and drop prone. You're allowed to do that. You make it easy PSR to stand up and then keep going the next turn, but use that terrain so that they cannot get shots off at you, because the less they shoot at you before you get up there, the better. Once you get to them and you surround them with all of your forces, yes, they're going to get some shots off at you. Let them, because you might lose 1 or 2 mechs. But surrounding them and having 3 or 4 mechs all in melee kicking that mech, it's going to fall. You're going to do a lot of damage to it. You're going to kick a leg off pretty quickly at that point, and then it's no longer a problem. You will always outnumber an opponent who has one of these mechs.
These are the Annihilators, the Stone Rhinos, the Gunslingers. Like, I beat these by being A, faster. Like, I can take so much more of the battlefield in the turns that they need to, like, move to get set up in their firing position. Like, yeah. It's wild.
Because they can't come on the field and fire immediately. They have to get to a good firing position. And you're using that whole time to just rush their position. Get to them. If they get into their position, like I said, use the terrain, make it block. again, all of these are assuming that you've lost initiative, and assuming that this is not a scenario type that doesn't involve both sides killing each other. If you want to, you know, talk about different scenario rules, like tactics for specific scenarios, that will change depending on what your objective is. But everything I'm talking about is the objective is to destroy the other side, and here is how you eliminate these particular mechs. So, you know, this advice is in this little bubble of limitations. But yeah, Stone Rhinos, slow. Annihilators, slow. Gunslingers, slow. Surround them with your other units. Make them pay.
Yeah, because these are units that really kind of punish you for taking those centerpiece models. Like, you kind of just need every mech to kind of do its equal share of the job.
Well, these mechs excel at taking out other heavies and assaults that are slow or like to take in positions, and it just becomes a slug match, and they put out more damage than anything else. They're also fantastic for taking out those hardened armors because, again, they're slow and they output more damage than any other unit. They're so heavy that they do tend to have maxed armor. But yeah, their big disadvantage, again, is just their lack of ability to move. They cannot position. You can run full speed or jump and still have a good chance of hitting them no matter what. So use your mobility, surround them, focus fire, and you're going to find out that you can take them down before they can take out too many of your mechs. They may get one or even two, but it probably won't be more than that.
I just remember the Triangle tournament. It's like I essentially gave my Night Sky as like a premium target, but I was like, but you have to move to get it. So the Annihilator moved. He moved out of his sniper perch. And then I was like, okay, you can kill the Night Sky. He's lived long enough. I ran the Greyhound up. And I just, yes, I got lucky, but I also would have kicked something. Like, yeah, I kicked the head, killed it. If I kicked the arm, I would have done enough damage to get very close to getting through the arm. It's like, any of those gosses go off.
Right. It's a bad day.
It's bad. Because, hey, that's a chain reaction.
It is. It really is. And it's yeah. Gauss rifles take up a lot of crits. And when they explode, like a regular Gauss rifle does 20 points of internal damage. And it's the same as a ammo explosion. You still take two pilot hits. You still have to roll twice. And then if it spreads into another area that has another Gauss, you have to roll again to see if you also crit that one. It's a bad day.
I want to hear the story of someone who's like, my first Gauss exploded, and then that made the second Gauss explode. By that time, yeah, it was four pilot hits, and I was crying.
Then I passed out, fell down, and got a fifth pilot hit.
Oh my gosh.
I wake up on an 11.
The worst part is that's exactly how it happens.
It does. It does.
Like, pilot hits, you either get them all in one phase or you get them all throughout the game.
Well, that's all the major ones I can think of. I put it to the Discord, to our listeners. Tell us other ones that we've missed. Which ones do you guys have trouble with? And we'll tell you the same thing we told you here. Win initiative, roll 12s. It's the answer.
Do we just need that on a shirt?
Yes. Yes. We can do that. I would buy that shirt.
Win initiative, roll 12s.
Yep.
Roll 12s and then twos.
You
know.
You don't even know they need the twos. If all you roll is 12s, you're still going to do okay.
As long as you roll some dice like that are not all 12s, like you have to save the 12s. I'm not condoning cheating, but like, if you only roll 12s, you are cheating.
On the shirt, it's going to say win initiative, roll 12s, and there's going to be two d6s, and they're going to have sixes on all the visible sides.
He's not wrong, folks. He's not wrong. He's been doing this a while. He knows what he's talking about.
Hey, anybody is allowed to use my dice at the table.
My dice fail me just as much as they fail anyone else.
That's right.
All right. Yeah, you want to send us home, Denim?
Absolutely. Hey, you guys can contact us at themechbaypodcast@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook, Discord, and Instagram. And a special thank you, as always, to all of our Patreons. And hey, speaking of percentages, here at the Mech Bay, 60% of the time, we are correct 100% of the time.